Good morning.
Blog Talk Radio.
Bringing you the Key West Lou Talk Show. Elongated the Key West Lou Blog Talk Radio Show, and I am broadcasting from bright and shiny Key West, Florida. Let me tell you about the weather first, my friends. The weather this winter, this month, is absolutely fantastic. It was 81 yesterday. It's going to be 81 today and 81 for the next several days. It is never this warm in Key West in January. Our average temperature is 55 degrees by day, and in the evening, 55 to 60. One or two evenings in the high 40s for real. This year, none of that. Our days are in the around 80, our evening 72. No need for air conditioning day or night. The cool breeze off the ocean takes care of that. Absolutely no humidity. Sleeping is terrific. Come on down, folks. It's never been this good. Okay, this is a talk show. I'm talking. I'd like to have someone to talk to. You must call in and chat with me. Give me a call. You can see on your screen the call-in number for you if you wish to ask a question, contradict something I say, agree with what I say, make a statement, raise an issue, I don't care. Call and chat with me. The call-in number, as you know, is 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. I have a multitude of sins to discuss this morning. I'm going to make a statement first, and listen closely to the words involved in this statement. It's food for thought. A woman's vagina, you heard me, a woman's vagina is more regulated than assault weapons. I repeat, a woman's vagina is more regulated than assault weapons. For real, just think about it. We've got the abortion issues. We've got first semester, second semester, trimester. We've got issues on birth control. Who's going to pay for birth control? We've got issues on tests that women may have to undergo if they're considering an abortion. We have all these rules affecting a woman's body. And I want to make a point here also. If the fetus is a life, and that's disputed. We're only talking about one life. I do not believe it is, but we're only talking about one life. When we talk about assault weapons that have little control compared to the control being exercised and attempted to be exercised over a woman's body, we're not talking about much with assault weapons. Nothing in comparison to what is trying to be imposed and has been imposed upon a woman's body. Does that make sense to you? Something screwy in this country, absolutely screwy, when our brethren, our male and female legislators in Washington are more concerned with what happens to a woman's body rather than what happens or did happen to 26 kindergarten children in Newtown, Connecticut. Because if they were concerned about Newtown, Connecticut, and those 20 children and 6 adults, they would do something about it. They would, and I'm for this, ban assault weapons. Absolutely ban assault weapons. You can have it. The Supreme Court said you have a Second Amendment right to carry a pistol, to carry a rifle, to carry a shotgun, to protect yourself in your home, to protect yourself on the street. 42 states in this country permit you to pack a gun on your hip, open packing. Anyone can see the gun. You know, it can be. We're going to the old west. We're going to have shootouts pretty soon, but that's legal. But you can't use these super duper machine guns, these assault weapons of today that spit out 100 bullets per second or per minute. Absolutely ridiculous. Look at the damage they do, and they don't. The people, the NRA, does not want to ban assault weapons. Something is wrong with our psyche. Okay, I'd like to hear from someone on that issue, and I would really love to hear from someone who supports and is part of or a member in the NRA. Okay, moving on. What are we going to talk about next? We're going to talk about incest. You're going to love the way I'm playing interest into what I'm going to talk about next. Hear what I'm going to say. There is an incestuous relationship. We all know what an incestuous relationship is. Parent, child, brother, sister. There is an incestuous relationship between the military, Congress, and the military-industrial complex, and has been so for years. There is an incestuous relationship between the military, Congress, and the military-industrial complex. No one can argue about it. The military budget is huge, has been huge in this country. Remember, it was Eisenhower in his departing speech when he left the presidency, said, beware of the industrial-military complex. He knew he was an experienced general. He was an experienced military man. He was an experienced public service. He had been president for 8 years. He knew how corporate America wants to get their hands into the money pot of the people of the United States. Now, the only way the military-industrial complex can make money is to have contracts with the government. That's the primary source of business. Which means we have to have wars. Am I saying they like wars? Of course they like wars. They make money off wars. And they have to have a military that likes wars. The military, basically, military people do like wars. You can't argue that point. I'll tell you why. They always want more. They want more machinery. They want more guns, more ammunition, more planes, more ships. And they always want more soldiers because they say we have to be prepared. And, of course, in the last 10 years, we have been fighting two wars that we shouldn't have been fighting, but we were fighting them. But they want more and more. You will never meet a general or an admiral who will ask for less. It just does not exist. So the military-industrial complex is sitting in a good position. They've got a product that people want, you know, the people of the United States, via the Congress, not you and me. Now, our Congress people, they just love to appropriate money for the military to keep us strong. And I'll tell you why. I honestly believe this. I think they want to protect our country. But more importantly, one of the biggest lobbyists, money spenders in Washington is the military-industrial complex. Corporate America that makes guns and ammunition and means for warfare. And don't you think they contribute with their major lobbies in Washington, D.C.? They contribute major dollars to the pockets, not the pockets. You know, I need this for my next campaign. They're giving mucho big dollars to most of the Congress people of the United States. No one turns their back on that kind of money. And once they take it, they are beholden. And we can see they are beholden, just as they're beholden to the NRA. The NRA is one of the major contributors in Washington to our congressional people, all right? And, you know, you get money involved, then you get a contamination. It's automatic. Everyone likes money, especially a big amount of money. And these people all want money. So you notice there is an incestuous relationship between the military, Congress, and the military-industrial complex. If we're going to cut the budget, one of the places we have to look is at the military. And we're going to cut it this year. I don't know how much. We should cut it tremendously, not to put us in a position where we can't protect ourselves and the rest of the world as we seem to do, but we don't need all the, because we don't need all the money we allocate. They spend it. If they have it, they spend it. Understand. The military has the money, they spend it because, God forbid, comes the next year, you didn't spend all the money, so you don't need as much as you are asking for. And they always have their hands out. So, and they don't need it. That's the point. I'm sorry. I got lost there for a second. That they don't need all that money. Take the CIA, for example. That's part of your military budget. Do you know that the CIA, the budget of the CIA is secret? It's confidential. No one knows. I don't even know if Congress knows, and they have the power to allocate money. No one knows how much their budget is. No one knows how much they spend, and no one knows where they spend it. It's against the law to know. These are the people, by the way. They're helping to protect us, but these are the people. that are out there trying to bribe Iranians, trying to bribe Afghanistan political figures by paying them $10 million, $25 million. And generally when we try to bribe, try to buy these foreigners, what happens? 6 months later, they turn their backs on us. They take the money and they run. So it's a problem. And let me hear from you on that. What do you think of the military complex and the military budget in Congress and military industry? What do you think about a woman's vagina being more regulated? Argue with me about it if you've got the testicles to do it. Is more regulated than assault weapons. And call in if you have a question. The call-in number is 646-478-5731, 646-478-5731. New show here. This is actually the third time I've been on the air. I had two call-ins in the second show, which was big. It was terrific. Weeks three and four, I didn't broadcast because I had technical problems. So this is only my third show. Don't disappoint me. One or two of you, please call in and chat with me. I know you're out there listening. I can tell by the board in front of me how many people are listening. So there are people listening. It costs you no money to call in. It's free long distance in the United States. We all, and I don't know if it's free long distance. I'll take that back. Most of us have cell phones that provide for national calling free of charge long distance calling. If you are out of the country, because I know right now there are people in Greece and Italy and South Africa that are listening to this show. If you're outside the country, all you have to do is go to Skype. Skype is a free download. Most people have it today. And make a telephone call via Skype. So let me hear from you, please. Let's switch to something a little lighter than assault weapons and women's rights and the relationship with the military complex, NRA, Congress, and all that sort of thing. We're going to talk about pythons for a moment. Pythons, those big snakes, generally 7 to 17 feet. We have a problem here in Florida. For those of you outside Florida who may not be aware, we have a huge python population. Now, where did they come from? Because pythons come from, I don't know, the Middle East, the East. I'm not sure where they come from. They are not native to the United States. What happened, you have to go back to Hurricane Andrew, 1992. Terrible hurricane. I drove through Homestead, where the hurricane primarily hit, 3 weeks after the hurricane, and I have never seen such devastation in my life. All I saw as far as the eye could see was an occasional wall standing. Everything else was litter on the ground, homes totally down, people with signs, I have no water, I have no money, my insurance company isn't paying me, I have no food, help me. Sad. Well, a lot of people were keeping, apparently, and this is what the scientists and wildlife people tell us, a lot of people in the Homestead area had pet pythons in their homes. Now, why the hell anyone would want a 15-foot snake in your home, I don't know. But they had them. And when the hurricane came, Andrew, it picked these snakes up, and it carried them in the air and deposited a lot of them in the Florida Everglades, Now, that's 1992. And how many of them could it have picked up? 100, 200, 1,000? I think that's outlandish, 1,000. But whatever the number, turns out pythons are very promiscuous, and they propagate easily and swiftly. So now in the Florida Everglades, we have a problem. And that's South Florida. The problem is that there are, number one, we don't know how many pythons there are. They are described in the tens of thousands. We are told by the wildlife and scientific groups that we cannot eliminate or eradicate the pythons. We can only hope to control their further growth. Now, the pythons have left the Everglades. They're moving south. We know they have been in Key Largo. Several of them have been captured there. We know that one got caught here in Key West about 3 or 4 months ago at the Key West airport. I think it was a 12-footer sitting out there in the grass next to the runway. We don't know if that particular python is from the Everglades or was a pet down here that got out of somebody's house or somebody threw it on the side of the road. But they're moving south also. So the state of Florida has come up with an idea. We're going to have a python hunt. Actually, we are having the python hunt right now. People are being told you can hunt pythons. The season started about 3 weeks ago. I'm not laughing, but this is for real. You can hunt pythons. You got to get a special permit for it. And it's a contest. You know, but this is a contest. You get money if you whoever shoots the most pythons gets a dollar reward, and whoever kills the biggest python gets a dollar reward. So they're out there. Last week there were only 400 people out there. This week it was reported yesterday the number that have been given permits to do this is over 800, and they have been told. I think it's stupid, but they've been told, please shoot them in the head. We want them to die. This is the wildlife people. We want the pythons to die instantaneously so they are not caused to have pain and suffering. Now, I got to tell you something. They also say the pythons aren't dangerous to humans, by the way. On the other hand, this past year, they found a python someplace up near the Everglades. When they slit it open, it had a 75-pound deer inside its belly that it had not digested yet. Okay, now, what do I think it's like? I think this is the stupidest thing I ever heard. I don't care if they shoot 10,000 of them, which they're not going to. It's still not going to make a dent in the problem out there, the problem that cannot be eradicated. And what I'm more concerned with are these hunters causing injury and damage to themselves and others. All I can think of, all I can visualize, comes from the movie Jaws. Do you remember that movie 20, 30 years ago, The Big White Shark? And remember when it was announced that there was a reward for anyone who killed the shark? The next day, they were all going out from the town in boats, rowboats, with 10 or 12 guys standing in them with shotguns and pistols. Small boats, bigger but small. And they all went out, and they were drinking and partying. Everybody's having a good time. Somebody had to get hurt there. Somebody's going to get hurt here. I think it's a stupid idea. You have an opinion. If you do, call me up and share it. And the number to call is 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. I hope you're not going to leave me hanging this week with no call-ins. It makes me feel bad. This is a call-in talk show. I know you're there. I see the numbers in front of me, but I don't see anyone calling me up. I've given you controversial issues to talk about, a woman's right to privacy, assault weapons, the NRA, the military-industrial complex, the idiots in Congress, and now the python hunt. Pick anyone you want, pick all of them. Call me up and talk with me, please. 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. I won't embarrass you. You may embarrass me, but I promise not to embarrass you. What are we going to talk about now? What do you want to talk about? Let's talk about this fiscal ceiling problem that's coming up now, because I don't think everyone understands the problem. The fiscal ceiling, we had the debt limit, fiscal debt limit problem, that's out of the way. Raise the taxes on the wealthy, which the President Obama did. Now we're into the ceiling problem, which is another financial catastrophe. I don't know how our business, the government, it's our business, survives. When I ran my legal practice, when I had a business, if I had a financial crisis every week like our federal government does, I could never survive. I wouldn't have spent any money, time practicing law. I would have always been worrying about money and where it's going to come from instead of working at my profession to help people, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so now the fiscal ceiling. Many people do not understand what the fiscal ceiling is. Let me tell you a little bit how this problem occurs. The only one under the Constitution, the only body, the only entity, the only person that can authorize the spending of money for the United States is the Congress of the United States, the House of Representatives. No one else has that power. No one else has that authority. You cannot spend a penny for anything in this country. You can't pay a bill. You cannot incur a bill without the Congress of the United States passing a resolution or a law to that effect. The Senate can't do it. The Senate cannot introduce anything that would give permission to the government to spend money. The President of the United States can't do it. Obama can't do it. The Bushes couldn't do it. Clinton couldn't do it. They do not have the authority to authorize the spending of money. They're supposed to negotiate with each other and come up with a budget. Well, here's what happened. Congress comes up with a budget every year. They have a budget. But they know from years of experience, our Congress people, that they don't have to live within the budget. And they never think about living in the budget. And they don't live within the budget. Now, if you and I didn't live within a certain small budget in our homes or in our businesses, we'd be out of business. We'd be bankrupt. Okay? Our homes might be in foreclosure because of that. But the Congress doesn't worry because they know, and they have known historically, that under the law, at the end of the year, Congress looks at what the budget was and how much they spent. Let me give you a simple example. Let's say the budget's $1 million. We know it's a hell of a lot more. It's $1 million. And they spend $1.5 million. They know at the end of the year, they just pass a law that says we're going to pay the extra $500,000. And it's done. But now, the Republicans, and I'm not saying all of them, I'm saying those 27 or 60 people, those the Tea Party people who think we're overspending in this country and they have a right to think anything they want, but I think they're nuts, they're screwing up the government. They're saying, no, 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 we're not going to vote to raise the debt limit because with the ceiling problem, because they make us think, they want you to think and me to think that the president is asking for more money. He isn't asking for anything. He just wants them to authorize the payment of the United States bills, bills which the Congress of the United States themselves incurred, no one else, because they never pay attention to their the budget limits that had been imposed upon them, and they always had a way out because all they had to do was pass a law. Wouldn't you like if you overspent, and when you do overspend, all you had to do was pass something, vote for something, and automatically that money shows up in your bank account. We print new dollars for it, that's all. So now they want to close down the government. The House of Representatives wants to close down the government. Won't be the first time. Gingrich did it with Clinton. Clinton sat back and said, do it. 3 days later, Gingrich withdrew because he was screwing everything up. I'll tell you what's going to happen if they close down the government. Those of you that are senior citizens, you're not going to get your Social Security check. No question about it. This has already been stated 18 million times on television, even by the president yesterday. He said Social Security checks won't be going out finally. What about Medicare? The seniors, they get sick. They go to the doctor. Doctor isn't going to work on them. Because his Medicare bills, his bills into the government to pay for the treatment of seniors, isn't going to get paid. Veterans aren't going to get their checks. Or whatever, disability or whatever. The president isn't going to get paid. The senators aren't going to get paid. And those people in the House of Representatives that are creating the problem, they're going to go payless till the problem is resolved. I can't believe every member of the House of Representatives, over 500 of them, can live without a paycheck every pay period. Because some of those people that are doing it at a sacrifice. And even though they may be getting $170,000 a year, they're not making it. That's a lot of money, though, isn't it? I don't know. But they're not making it. They're going to be squeezed and choking. Well, now you can't pay your bills. if you don't get money, a cash flow, and government employees won't get paid. So they don't go to work. People aren't going to go to work. And what's going to happen? Well, we can't pay our bills. The first thing we're not going to be able to pay is the interest on the money we borrowed from China. You say, screw China. But you got to pay your bills on time. This is the United States of America will not be able to make its interest payments. Forget about we can't pay China the money, the interest on the money we owe them. What about the people in this country, and China also, that have treasury bonds? The safest investment in the world is a United States treasury bond. It's guaranteed interest. You just get those interest checks periodically. The interest checks aren't going to go out if the government gets closed down. That's a lot of money. Now, all the people who aren't getting paid, whether you're an employee, you're on Social Security, you're a doctor in Medicare, you need the payments, the dividend interest payments on the treasury notes. If you don't get these things, you can't pay your gas and electric bill. You can't. You may do it the first one, but then you can't. You can't pay your water bill. You can't buy the groceries you normally do. You're not going to drive your car as much. And it's, the reason is simple. Most of the people in this country, hear me, most of the people in this country are hand-to-mouth. They live off that paycheck every week. If they don't get it, they can't survive more than 2, 3, 4 a week. And they're not going to be getting their paycheck. Now, not only are they in trouble, but the people who depend on them, gas and electric, water, supermarkets, they're not going to get paid. So the whole economy crashes. It'll take, they say, 3 or 4 days for the world economy and our national economy to crash. And a handful of these Republicans in the House of Representatives are saying, we don't care. We don't care. We were sent here to shape things up, and if this is the way we've got to do it, we're going to do it. Well, it wasn't wise judgment that got us into this debt problem. But on the other hand, their solution to close down the government of the United States is not a wise solution also. If we don't pay our bills, it's a world catastrophe. It's a worldwide recession immediately. You have no idea the disaster that is going to follow. And my statements are not an exaggeration. Okay, my friends, we only got 2.5 minutes left. You disappoint me. No one called in. Call in to say, hello, Lewis, I haven't seen you in a long time. Excuse me. 646-478-5731. Give me a sign-off. Glad to have heard you today. Loved your show. Hated your show. 646-478-5731. So you've heard the problems that are going to come up with Social Security, the problems that come up with Medicare. Boom. Let me say something about Social Security. I don't know if some people don't like to hear this, the young people, but listen. Social Security was solid. The people of the United States had the money taken out of their paychecks every week and went to Social Security. Back in the 70s, President Johnson needed money for the Vietnam War. He says, I know where I'm going to get the money. I'm going to borrow it from Social Security. So over the years, the government's been taking the Social Security money out and spending it on other things and giving the Social Security account an IOU. That's part of the debt of the United States. It's a big debt, that money they can't pay back to Social Security. So no one is doing any favors for the seniors, including me, by saying, oh, we give you Social Security. You're not giving deep recipients of Social Security anything. It's their money that paid for it that was taken by the government legally, but really improperly. All right, we're into the last minute, and let's see, I've got around 50 seconds. I'm glad that those of you who join me. Ask your friends to listen to me. The time in the morning may be inconvenient, but I thought as a starter I'd try it here. I may move to a later time. I am glad that you joined me this morning. I hope you enjoyed my opinions. I would have enjoyed them more if I had someone on the other end contesting me or agreeing with me. But whatever, I want you to enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy today, enjoy tomorrow, and the whole week. And if you get a chance, come down to visit us here in Key West. Okay, my friends, talk with you next week. This is the end of this show.